John E. Montgomery II, preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Statisticians say, and statistics prove, that at this holiday seasons, folk become more depressed, oppressed, troubled by their trials, and find themselves in places some willing and ready to give up, throw in the towel, and even in their lives. But I want to deal with this morning, as led by the Spirit of the Lord, how to process through your trials. You may not need it, but somebody you know may need it. And so we want to talk about how to process through your trial, found in Job chapter 1, verse 20. We want to visit Job's house again. There's much wisdom in Job's house. Verse 20 of the first chapter of Job says, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. Brothers and sisters, when you look at this word, most of you know this message. It's no unfamiliar message to the believers, and you know it so much so that I want to pull out some points that will help you. So I won't spend a whole lot of time in the context, but I want to deal with our verse, with this word that we have before you. One of the things that I think is so important to understand is the fact that no matter whether you are saved, sanctified, filled with God's Spirit, or a sinner, you're going to have trials, you're going to have troubles, you're going to have tribulations. The difference is, for the believer, is in understanding that every trial that comes to our lives is first pre-approved by God, pre-authorized by God, so that we might learn from that experience and gain the strength necessary to become more evident that we are who and what God says we are. You will note again, if you would read the preceding verses, that God sees Satan in one of the meetings, and Satan has been summoned about his activities. And he says to God, he's been going to and fro in the earth, up and down, seeking whom he may devour. God calls out, God points out, God asks him, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth?" Listen, he fears God, a reverential, righteous fear. "And he escheweth," he hateth, "evil." The devil responds, "Yes, I've considered him, but the truth of the matter is, when I consider him, I see you all around him. You have put a hedge all around. I want to touch him, but I see signs all around him that says God's got this thing fixed. I see hedges all around him saying you can't touch this. I see hedges all around him saying he is protected by God." He said, "But I tell you one thing, God, I mean, he doesn't serve you for nothing, you know. Don't fool yourself. It's because of his gifts that he's received from you. It's because of the way you blessed him that he serves you. Don't get it twisted, God. He's not serving you for nothing." He said, "But I tell you what, take that stuff from him and you'll see where his heart really is. Remove his possessions and all of his accomplishments and those things that mean the most to him, and you'll really see what he's made of." God, knowing Job's heart and his situation, said, no, I won't do that. I'm not an Indian giver. I'm not going to give it to him and take it back. He said, "But I will permit you to test him. I will permit you to try him. I will permit you to see that what you think and perceive of Job is nowhere near the truth. And so he allowed Satan to test him, to try him, but with limitations. And I always say to the believers to understand this, that whatever goes on in your life, whatever comes and confronts your life, God has pre-approved it, that it will not take you out here. It may try you. It may be tough. It may be rough, but it is designed in the end to be a blessing and not just a burden. So when you see you're going through some stuff, and it may be some of the roughest stuff you've ever gone through before, one of the things that you've got to know is, one, God knows your strength. Yeah. And two, he promised he would not allow you to be tested above your measure. Now, that's the faithfulness of God. So that ought to automatically, when you say, I can't make it, you need to know that's a lie from the pits of hell. When you say, I can't take it no more, you need to know that the devil is a lie and he's deceiving you. If you couldn't have made it, if you couldn't have taken it, God would not have allowed you to even be tempted with it or tested with it or tried with it. So you've got to refocus on the word to understand that this may be your toughest test, but it's a strength test. And if you've ever done any workout, you'll know that there is a difference when you are strength tested. It is so that where your level of strength is, it may be exercised to its fullest potential so as to empower you to be able to increase your weight. But I think you need to know with strength testing, they add more weight. You can't be strength tested with just the bar. And so they want you to understand that it has to push you beyond your comfort limit. It has to push you so that every part of your body uses its ability to usher up its ability to strengthen the areas that need it the most while it is going through the struggle so that it can make that test successful. And so sometimes God has to allow some things that really challenges you to come your way, that really tries you to come your way. And 9 out of 10 times, you won't like it in the initial stages. But when it's all over and you get to see what you've accomplished by the grace of God, there's a new confidence level that rises up in you. Listen at this word, because I want you to see. First thing is that when you read these verses, you'll see that four great calamities, four different calamities had come to Job's house. Took away all his possessions, his children. It was one crushing blow after another. One servant came in and he announced his bad news. And as he finished the last word of his bad news and was exiting out the door, here comes another servant rushing in. Job, Job! And he begins to herald his bad news. And by the time he finishes his story and starts exiting the door, here comes another one. And so after him comes this fourth one. Time after time after time, and you begin to wonder, how much can one man take? Has there ever been a time in your life when it just seemed like bad news would not stop coming? And you wonder, Lord, can it get any worse? And if it's not one thing, it's another, and you get to the point where Job was. And there the Bible says in our verse 20, then, somebody say then. After all of the stuff that brought him to a place where he should not have been able to get up, the Bible says then. Not before the bad news, but after the bad news. Not before he knew what had happened, but after he got word of what had happened, the Bible says, then Job arose. He got up. He got up. So the first thing I want you to understand is when you look at this and it says he rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. It's a whole lot in this one verse that will help us if we recognize. One of the things that Satan wants to do is psychologically and spiritually and emotionally so paralyze us by bad news that we first can't even get up. If you ever notice when people hear bad news and it hits them so hard, they get weak and faint, or they got to sit down because they lose their strength. It's like all of the strength leaves their body. Job had an experience where after four times with the greatest, baddest news he had ever heard and experienced, he got up. Now that blew the devil's mind right there. That he would rise after having heard all the stuff he had just heard. Now, I want you to see something else, because the Bible says, again, he rent his mantle and shaved his head. Now, this was common in that day and time when people were grieving greatly, when they had had an experience perhaps as tumultuous as Job had experienced. That was a common thing, to rent their mantle and to shave their head. And it said that that meant that they were in deep, deep, deep grief. So that was no unusual thing about it. But what was unusual about Job's experience was that he didn't leave his grief to overcome him. The Bible says after he shaved his head, he fell down upon the ground and worshiped. Now listen at this. He fell down. This term is a term that must be understood within the text so that we'll understand. The devil didn't knock him down.
All right.
The bad news didn't render him weak. It meant he purposely, with all that was in him, humbled himself and fell down in a passionate move. And in that move, he postured himself to worship God. Let me tell you what happens to most of us when we're going through our trials. We become tied up in our trials till we become twisted up in our trials, so that we become trapped in our trials and wonder why we can't get over them and process through them. And you need to realize again that there is a process to overcome your trials. And if you are a believer, Job gives us a helpful holy hint as to what we should do. First thing he recognizes is that he must submit to God. So submission to God is the first thing that you need to do in your trial. What do you mean? He reflected upon, again, this must be the will of God. See, one of the things you got to understand is, though God may not send bad things upon you, he may allow bad things to come upon you. And if it is his will, listen, let me say this to you. If it hits your life, it's his will.
All right, all right, all right.
You ain't got to wonder if it's God's will that you go through the trial you're going through. You don't have to wonder if it's God's will if you're being tested and tried, because it couldn't have come to you unless God preordained it, pre-approved it, pre-allowed it. So one of the things you've got to realize is God wants you to learn a lesson out of this, and you're going to receive a blessing when the lesson is learned. And so the reality is, he wants you to understand he's already assigned this task, so get over why it happened to you and deal with it. You know, we whine and cry, Lord, I'm a good person. Lord, I pay my tithes. Lord, I pray. Lord, I treat everybody right. That's why he's testing you. That's why he's allowing you to grow through this experience. That's why he's elevating you through what may be a situation that seems to bring you down. It is to bring out of you the stuff that he's already stored in you. It's to activate the reality of who you are in him. And all of these things that he's placed in you could not become active without the trials and tribulations that are necessary for your development. See, there are just some things that are built in this building. There's an automatic fire alarm and all that stuff built in, and we've got all this in. Now, it doesn't just go off just to go off. It's there in case of an emergency. You know, there are signs everywhere you go and different things and so forth. Some things are only meant to be used in times of trouble, in cases of emergency. There are some things in you don't even know you can handle yet, because you hadn't had your time of trying. your time of emergency. You don't even know if your airbags work in your car till you have an accident. They are there. You don't. I wish I had somebody to understand what I'm trying to tell you. There's some greatness in you that will not come up out of you until you go through some stuff that proves you are who God says you are. So listen to this. He submits to God. He makes it clear that he has no issue with that. Let me just jump to the next verse and show you what I'm talking about. He said, verse 21, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Now look at what he said. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In other words, listen, when he looks at this thing and sees it the way it is, he does not blame God, but he blesses God. You know, when stuff happens to us bad, you know, sooner or later, and sometime more sooner than later, we in our sly and cunning way try to bless God in a way that really doesn't bless him, because we blame him for what we're going through, not understanding what we're going through in the end is going to be a blessing. So ain't no sense in blaming God for allowing what he allowed to happen to you, because in the end you win. But if you don't know the word, and if you don't walk by faith, and if you don't understand the process, you will blame God because bad things happen to your life. God, why did you allow this to happen? Why did you allow this to be taken away? Why did you allow that to be taken? This person in my life, this, that. You come to that point and you don't understand. God has been in conversation and communication about the plans of the enemy for your life. And when God saw what the enemy planned to do, he forbade him to do that, but he would allow him to test you and bring you to a point of trying where it developed your faith and it developed your strength and it developed your character. He submitted. This must be the will of God. He didn't know the Lord had taken away. See, Job was the first of this testing experience. We know God doesn't give and take away. He says his gifts are without repentance. But Job didn't know that. But look at this. Even though he didn't know it, he didn't blame God. How often do we really submit to the will of God and say, God, this must be your will because you've allowed it to hit my life? You see, I'm trying to get us to understand that submission to the will of God is the first step in the process of getting through your trial. This thing didn't happen in the dark. This thing didn't happen behind God's back. This thing didn't happen without God's knowledge. And so if God knew all of these things, it could only mean one thing, that he's promoting me. Lord, some of y'all are going to catch that when you wake up. It only means one thing. He's been bragging on me that I'm going to pass this test, that I'm going to win this fight, because he knew what was in me. And when he allowed the devil to test me, listen at this, he broke it down into rounds. He wouldn't let the devil give me everything at one time because I couldn't handle it all. So he broke it down into rounds, and round one started. First man came on in and I won that one. Round two came. Second man came in. I won that. Round three came. Oh, he tried to hit me with a bad shot, but I overcame. Round four came. I wish I had a witness there. And there I got up again, and I was there. We are here now at round five, and Job is still fighting strong in the battle. He had already bragged that he would have him out by now. He'd already finished him by now. He had already broadcast by round two, I'd have him out. He'd be done. But here Job continues on because God had measured it out for his ability. Have you ever watched a professional fight?
Yes, sir.
And you know, every round is 3 minutes by time limit. And you may have seen the champion, the existing champion in that fight, in that battle, in the last 2 minutes and 30 seconds, the opponent might have been unleashing a flurry of hits, and the champ might have gotten weak. And the only thing that saved the champ, ding, 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 and he gets back to his corner. And that person would have taken him out of there had the bell not rung. Oh, thank God for the bell in our lives. Because we would have been out of here if God hadn't stopped the devil by ringing the bell so we could get a little breather. And oh, when we got our second wind. Oh, I wish I had a helper in the house. Listen. Which brings my second point. That he got strength from God in the trial. Strength. He submitted to the will of God in the trial, but from that trial, he got strength from God. That's some strength you won't get until you actually in the trial and need it. It's there when you need it, but you've got to need it to get it from God. And you begin to understand the strength that he received from his trial. Listen, oftentimes folk skip the most important part. What gave Job strength? I'll tell you what did. It wasn't in the renting of the mantle. It wasn't in the shaving of the head. But it was in the falling down on the ground. Humbling himself and preparing for worship. See, a lot of times when folk go through stuff, they skip church. They skip the place where they get their strength from. They don't position themselves where they can hear a word from the Lord. And the devil knows if he can keep you from church and keep you from hearing the word and keep you from people who are positive and people who've been there and done that and who can encourage you. If he can just keep you from the source that will strengthen your spirit, man, he knows that you're going to become so depressed over the situation, so wound up in that thing where you don't even realize that you're disconnected from your source, and so as a result, you can't get strength from your source. I don't care how hot an electric heater get, unplug it. And as good as it works when it's plugged up to the source, when it's disconnected, you ain't got no heat coming from it. And so many of us miss God when we go through our stuff because we don't know while we are in our trials, in our struggles, if we would connect with our source, he will strengthen us while we are in our trials, in our struggles. And then the last thing I want to tell you, because our time is far spent, is that he had a steadfastness for God. He kept his eyes on God. You see, your troubles and your trials and your tribulations are designed to get your eyes off the Lord. Get your focus off of God. Take your focus away from what he promised you. Get you outside of the word, the will, and the way of God. Because if he gets you in that place, then he can get you in a wilderness experience where you are going around in circles. Where you have no point and place of understanding where you come out of this thing at. And like the children of God in the wilderness for 40 years, going round and round in circle after circle, not seeing an exit nowhere. Oh, my brothers and sisters, that's what trials and tests are designed to do, to confuse you, to keep you off-centered and off-balanced so that you don't understand why you're going through what you're going through. If you understand that it will build character in you and it will show not just to you but to the devil that God has already assigned this challenge to you so that you could win, that you will win it. It is designed so that in the end, God receives the glory and you receive the good. Why am I going through all of this? Because God has more for you to go through, and you can't get to the more until you get through this. It's a developmental stage. It's a developmental process. God is always about increase. He's always about magnifying. He's always about developing. He's always about enlarging. And so as a result of that, to whom much is given, much is required. If you want more, you got to go through more. So you want the more, but you don't want to go through no more. You want more pay, but no more working hours. You want greater blessings, but you don't want to give God greater glory. It doesn't work that way, my brothers and sisters. And when you begin to see his steadfastness, Job demonstrated his loyalty to God. Somebody say loyalty to God. See, the devil wanted Job to give up on God, get mad with God, blame God. God, you allowed this to happen to me. And listen, just like he allowed it to happen to you, through that has happened to you, he's going to allow you to become a better person than you are right now if you stay loyal to God. You see, from this mess, God's going to bless.
Come on, man.
All of the things before you, from all of the stuff behind you, and you couldn't get what you got before you if you didn't deal with what you got behind you. And as you keep on understanding how God works this process, once you get through with this, it still ain't over. Because the process is going to happen all over again. But one thing you will notice, this time you'll be on another level than you were before in the other experience.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard. So you don't need to ditch the car and start rollerblading to work.
I look ridiculous.
You look ridiculous!
You don't need to start foraging wild berries.
I was skeptical, but these are actually pretty good.
You don't need to sell your organs on the black market.
Lie back. This is gonna hurt.
Yeah, that hurts.
You don't need to rent out your apartment to drifters.
I made a fire with the wood in your bedroom.
That's my dresser!
And your closet door.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Well, Jason, I've got to tell you, you're pretty much everything this company is looking for in an entry-level candidate.
Great.
Your resume isn't quite what we're used to, but you've got a fantastic work ethic.
Thank you.
And I'm impressed by how you carry yourself.
So, should we talk about the job?
What? The job? Oh, sorry. Yeah, I have no way of recruiting or even meeting you. This interview didn't happen.
It may sound ridiculous, and that's because it kind of is. There's a huge pool of talent your company is missing out on. Meet the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Man, we really could have used him.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.